I must have slept a long time, for when I was punched awake, the room was dim with the light of the setting moon. "Move over, Scout." "He thought he had to," I mumbled. "Don't stay mad with him." Dill got in bed beside me. "I ain't," he said. "I just wanted to sleep with you. Are you waked up?" By this time I was, but lazily so. "Why'd you do it?" No answer. I said, "Why'd you run off? Was he really hateful like you said?" "Nah." "Didn't you all build that boat like you wrote you were gonna?" "He just said we would. We never did." I raised up on my elbow, facing Dill's outline. "It's no reason to run off. They don't get around to doing what they say they're going to do half the time." "That wasn't it. They just wasn't interested in me." This was the weirdest reason for flight I'd ever heard. "How come?" "Well, they stayed gone all the time, and when they were home even, they'd get off in a room by themselves." "What'd they do in there?" "Nothing. Just sitting and reading. But they didn't want me with them." I pushed the pillow to the headboard and sat up. "You know something? I was fixing to run off tonight because there they all were. You don't want them around all the time, Dill." Dill breathed his patient breath, a half sigh. "Good night. Atticus is gone all day and sometimes half the night and off in the legislature and I don't know what. You don't want them around all the time, Dill. You couldn't do anything if they were." "That's not it." As Dill explained, I found myself wondering what life would be if Jim were different, even from what he was now. What I would do if Atticus did not feel the necessity of my presence, help, and advice. Why, he couldn't get along a day without me. Even Calpurnia couldn't get along unless I was there. They needed me. "Dill, you ain't telling me right. Your folks couldn't do without you. They must be just mean to you. Tell you what to do about that." Dill's voice went on steadily in the darkness. "The thing is, what I'm trying to say is, they do get on a lot better without me. I can't help them any. They ain't mean. They buy me everything I want, but it's, 'Now you've got it, go play with it. You've got a room full of things. I got you that book, so go read it.'" Dill tried to deepen his voice. "You're not a boy. Boys get out and play baseball with other boys. They don't hang around the house worrying their folks." Dill's voice was his own again. "Oh, they ain't mean. They kiss you and hug you good night and good morning and goodbye and tell you they love you. Scout, let's get us a baby." "Where?" There was a man Dill had heard of who had a boat that he rowed across to a foggy island where all these babies were. You could order one. "That's a lie. Annie said God drops them down the chimney. At least that's what I think she said." For once, Auntie's diction had not been too clear. "Well, that ain't so. You get babies from each other. But there's this man, too. He has all these babies just waiting to wake up. He breathes life into them." Dill was off again. Beautiful things floated around in his dreamy head. He could read two books to my one, but he preferred the magic of his own inventions. He could add and subtract faster than lightning, but he preferred his own twilight world, a world where babies slept, waiting to be gathered like morning lilies. He was slowly talking himself to sleep and taking me with him, but in the quietness of his foggy island, there rose the faded image of a gray house with sad brown doors. "Dill?" "Why do you reckon Boo Radley's never run off?" Dill sighed a long sigh and turned away from me. "Maybe he doesn't have anywhere to run off to."